This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Our guest Errol Morris directed the film The Fog of War, one of a strong crop of films nominated for an Academy Award this year as Best Documentary Feature. Terry spoke with him in January, before the film was nominated. The Fog of War is edited from over 20 hours of interviews with Robert McNamara, who served as Secretary of Defense under Presidents Kennedy and Johnson. He was one of the architects of the war in Vietnam, but now says that by the time he left the Johnson administration, he had become increasingly skeptical about the war. McNamara left the Johnson administration in 1967 and became the head of the World Bank. He has remained an enigmatic figure. For many years, he wouldn't speak about his role in the war. But that silence was broken by his 1995 memoir, in which he discussed what led to his growing skepticism. Yet he disappointed his critics by not apologizing for his role in that war. In Morris's film, McNamara reflects on the lessons he's learned from Vietnam and World War II, in which he helped plan the firebombing of Tokyo. McNamara was the youngest ever Secretary of Defense, age 44, and is now 87 years old. The films of Errol Morris investigate the obsessions and motivations of their subjects through intensive interviews. His films include Mr. Death, Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, and A Thin Blue Line. Here's a clip from the beginning of The Fog of War.
It's almost impossible for our people today to put themselves back into that period. In my 7 years as secretary, we came within a hair's breadth of war with the Soviet Union on three different occasions. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for 7 years as Secretary of Defense, I lived the Cold War. During the Kennedy administration, they designed a 100 megaton bomb. It was tested in the atmosphere. I remember this. Cold War? Hell, it was a hot war.
You know, one of the things that really astonished me watching The Fog of War was that McNamara was really lively, anecdotal, interesting, and I always thought of him, among other things, as cold and kind of inaccessible. In other words, that you'd never get anything out of him. give me an example of something he said that really surprised you.
Well, the most surprising thing was discovering that his role in Vietnam was different than I had thought. Remember, the Vietnam War was known to many people as McNamara's war. He became not only associated with the war, people thought of it as his war, as though he was the person primarily responsible for it. He was the hawk. He was the guy who pushed other people towards escalation, to bombing, to troops on the ground. You want an explanation for how we became mired in Vietnam? Look no further than Robert S. McNamara. And yet, as I got deeper and deeper into this story, my view of him and his role in history changed.
Now, in talking about his role in Vietnam, he certainly gives the impression that he tried to talk President Johnson out of the war, tried to decreasing our presence in Vietnam. Do you believe that that was consistently his point of view with Johnson?
It's a tortured story. I believe that if Kennedy had lived, in all likelihood, there would not have been extensive bombing and 500,000 ground troops in Vietnam. It's one of those great mysteries that can't be really answered for certain. But the story leans in that direction. There is considerable amount of evidence to suggest that's the case. One thing that's really interesting, I sometimes say, well, this revised story about Vietnam that emerges in The Fog of War, it's not necessarily a better story. It's just a different story. because it raises a whole set of different questions. If McNamara was opposed to the war, why did he become a part of its escalation? Why did he continue to serve Johnson if he disagreed with his policies? Why did he stay on until 1968? And why, when he left the administration, did he remain silent? The war went on, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75. Between 2 and 3 million Vietnamese died, and 58,000 Americans.
It's tempting to kind of go over your whole film point by point and talk about all the points that Robert McNamara makes, but I think I should let our listeners see the movie and talk instead about how the movie was made. But first, I do want to just get to a couple of the very interesting points that McNamara makes in the movie. And one of them is in talking about World War II, where he served under General Curtis LeMay, and he participated in the planning of the firebombing of Tokyo, in which 100,000 civilians were killed. And he says something very interesting about war criminals. Why don't we hear this excerpt of your movie? This is an excerpt of Robert McNamara speaking in Errol Morris's documentary, The Fog of War.
I don't fault Truman for dropping the nuclear bomb. The U.S.-Japanese War was one of the most brutal wars in all of human history. Kamikaze pilots, suicide, unbelievable. What one can criticize is that the human race prior to that time and today has not really grappled with what are, I'll call it, the rules of war. Was there a rule then that said you shouldn't bomb, shouldn't kill, shouldn't burn to death 100,000 civilians in a night? LeMay said if we'd lost the war, we'd all have been prosecuted as war criminals. And I think he's right. He, and I'd say I, were behaving as war criminals.
Robert McNamara speaking in the documentary The Fog of War. Errol Morris, when he said that to you, were you surprised to hear his thoughts about what makes a war crime a war crime?
Yes, particularly because this part of the interview happened very early on, probably within the first half hour of my first interview with Robert McNamara. The movie doesn't tell you. There's no flashing light that goes on and says, this is really something new, this is really something extraordinary. So much has been written about the dropping of the two atomic bombs on Japan in 1945. Comparatively little has been written about the firebombing of 67 cities in Japan before we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And here we have McNamara, who was involved in these firebombings, speak of them as a war crime. Very powerful, because aren't we all used to thinking of World War II as a just war? After all, good and evil were well defined. We were on the side of good, they were on the side of evil. And yet, here is Robert McNamara telling us, yes, that was true, but there is conduct within a just war which is criminal. Very, very powerful and very interesting.
He reaches several conclusions and has several lessons that he feels like he's learned from his involvement in World War II and the Vietnam War. And one of his conclusions is you need to empathize with your enemy. But he says about Vietnam, we didn't know the Vietnamese well enough to empathize and put ourselves in their shoes. We saw the war in Vietnam as a Cold War. They saw it as a Civil War. And when I heard him say that, I thought, you know, what a true and interesting lesson to have learned and to impart to us. But then I thought for a second, isn't that what the anti-war movement was saying all along? That, you know, this isn't just the Cold War, this is a Civil War. Why are we involved there? I mean, isn't that something that people were shouting at him for years?
Yes. This is a movie with one interview, But sometimes I think they're actually two characters. The 85-year-old McNamara speaking to the 45-year-old McNamara. And one of the questions...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, that was my, as a viewer, that was my impression too. Yeah.
And one question that keeps coming up again and again, is this the same man? Are these two different men? Mm-hmm. Well, in one sense, of course they're not. But are they the same? And in what way are they different, if they are different? You're absolutely right. Many of the things that McNamara says could have come out of anti-war demonstrators. It could have been things that they said verbatim in 1965. People who really hate McNamara, and there are many, when they hear about the lessons, they say, why do we want to hear anything this man says? Shouldn't he remain silent? My answer is an emphatic no. He has been so much a part of history, and the stories that he tells about history are really interesting and important stories. And they're stories by a man who knows.
Errol Morris speaking with Terry Gross last month. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Errol Morris, whose film The Fog of War is one of the movies up for an Academy Award next week as Best Documentary Feature.
You know, you're talking about him being like the 85-year-old McNamara talking to the 40-year-old or 45-year-old McNamara. And I felt as a viewer that there were two versions of me watching the movie.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I'll explain what I mean. Because like when he talks about...
By the way, it's also true in my case.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. So let me give you my example. When I was watching the movie and he says things like, during the war in Vietnam, his family was so stressed out, his family got ulcers. I can't remember if he got ulcers too. And that his family was just like sickened by all of the stress. And one part of me thought, wow, that's really interesting that it was so stressful on your family and that elicited a very sympathetic response from me. But then the other part of me was saying, well, I should think so. The whole country was divided by this war. The country was at war with itself. Americans were dying. Vietnamese were dying. So many lives of Americans were totally changed by the war.
America was totally changed.
Right.
By the war.
So in that sense, I was thinking, well, you know, sure you'd have ulcers. I mean, geez. So I just felt myself having this constant dialogue with myself about my reactions to him and what he was saying. Tell me about the dialogue you had with yourself making the movie.
My feelings about Vietnam haven't changed over the years. I demonstrated against the war as a young student because I found the war appalling. And now, many, many years later, I still find it appalling. Sometimes I think, am I being too easy on McNamara? Other times I think, am I being too hard on him? One undeniable aspect of the man is that he produces these very, very strong feelings. And yet I feel privileged to have been able to talk to him and to make this movie. I started these interviews before 9/11. The first interview with McNamara was in May of 2001. I never thought that this would be a movie about now, that this would be a movie about today.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as I continued to work on the film, the themes, the stories, the history that McNamara describes became more and more and more relevant to what is going on in the world today.
There are some people who've seen the movie who think that in the movie, McNamara is still doing a bit of, you know, lying, deceiving, exaggerating to suit his case. I interviewed McNamara in 1995 after his memoir was published.
Uh-huh.
And when I interviewed him, I guess, you know, all of my instincts were, ask him why he hasn't apologized if he knew all this in advance. Ask him if he thinks he owes an America an apology or an explanation. And I haven't listened back to the interview, but I think that's where I kept where I kept heading. And I'm wondering if your instinct was ever to do that yourself, because the movie isn't that. You're not saying, well, then apologize. You know, you're letting him speak. You're letting him tell his story, and a lot of interesting things emerge. And those things are very lively and attention getting. I mean, you want to hear it, and whether you end up completely believing it or not, you want to hear it. But was there ever an instinct in you saying, get him to apologize? You know,
sure, and, absolutely.
But did you kind of suppress that and just like let him talk, or did you keep kind of getting back to that?
Did I kind of suppress it? I like the idea of suppressing it. Maybe. It's interesting because when you say there's something missing, if people say, well, McNamara didn't go as far as I would like, or McNamara really didn't apologize, or McNamara didn't really confess, I would ask myself, what is it that they want to hear? What exactly are they looking for? And I ask myself, do I want to hear McNamara apologize for the war? And here's my answer. Not really.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Because I don't think there is any apology for the war in this sense. How do you apologize for the death of 58,000 Americans and 2 to 3 million Vietnamese? I think he's done something far more interesting. He has gone back over the history of the war. Don't forget, this is the man who ordered the Pentagon Papers to be created. If you like, it's that same instinct to go back over the past, to look at it, to try to understand it. For the totally unsympathetic, the people who will hate McNamara no matter what, they will look at this attempt to go back over the past as excuse-making. Yeah, sure, he's going back over the past, but he's going over the past just to provide a gloss on the past, to make himself look better. My answer is no. When he suggests that he and LeMay were war criminals in World War II, and he tells a story that is so different from any other story I've heard about that period, I don't look at it as an attempt to whitewash the past, but as a sincere attempt to go back over the past, to think about the past.
Mm-hmm. Your interview with McNamara, as it is in the movie The Fog of War, starts with him having to pick up where he left off, I guess because like the tape or the film had run out, and he has to like pick up in the middle of the sentence. In fact, let me just play this little excerpt.
Now, I remember exactly the sentence I left off on. I remember how it started, and it was cut off in the middle. You can fix it up some way. I don't want to go back, introduce the sentence, because I know exactly what I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. Any military commander who is honest with himself or with those he's speaking to will admit that he has made mistakes in the application of military power. He's killed people unnecessarily, his own troops or other troops, through mistakes, through errors of judgment. 100 or thousands or tens of thousands, maybe even 100,000. But he hasn't destroyed nations. And the conventional wisdom is don't make the same mistake twice. Learn from your mistakes. And we all do. Maybe we make the same mistake 3 times, but hopefully not 4 or 5. There'll be no learning period with nuclear weapons. You make one mistake and you're going to destroy nations.
That's Robert McNamara in the very opening of The Fog of War, and my guest is the filmmaker, Errol Morris. You know how I was talking about how I had 2 reactions to a lot of the movie? I had 2 reactions to seeing this part of the interview, especially at the very beginning. Part of me said, well, he's being kind of manipulative here. He knows exactly what he's going to say. He's saying it. He's so kind of conscious of himself as an interviewee. But then the other part of me said, yes, he should be. He has something really important to say here about, you know, lessons about nuclear weapons and being you know, being in a position of power in the nuclear era, this is really important. I'm glad he remembered what he wanted to say. Tell me why you wanted to lead with this, in a way, very self-conscious moment of him saying, I'm going to pick up exactly where I left off. I know what I want to say.
Well, among other things, he's a control freak.
Right.
And it's interesting to be reminded of that fact at the very beginning. In fact, we see at the very beginning of the movie, we see him in 1964 doing pretty much the same thing that he's doing in 2001.
Well, Errol Morris, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Errol Morris, speaking with Terry Gross last month. His movie, The Fog of War, about the military policies of former Secretary of State Robert McNamara, is nominated for an Academy Award as Best Documentary Feature. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.